You're listening to EPN, the E-Podcast Network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we are speaking with Mr. Tobias Jaeger, the managing partner of Axiom Venture Capital, a boutique investment bank for the media and entertainment industry. Mr. Jaeger, a pleasure to have you with us today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks for having me.
And the pleasure is certainly ours. Now, investment banking and venture capital for the media and entertainment industry, it all sounds very interesting. How did you get into the industry, and what is your background leading to your present position?
Well, I think I was bitten by the entrepreneurial bug quite early. I started my first venture in university, which was in the consulting space. So we actually recruited students from campus to work on projects that we had gotten from, you know, larger corporations, people that regularly need consulting work done, and basically use the opportunity to, you know, apply what we learned and build a small business around it, which went really well until we left university, really, and which kind of brought me to the second venture I started, which was in online poker. It was a online poker school I had started with a professional player, and we were teaching people how to play online poker professionally and profitably at the time. I mean, that industry has changed a lot. In retrospect, I'm not sad that, you know, I jumped on the next thing. I was offered to be the CEO of a coaching firm which worked with entrepreneurs for, you know, a while, and I really enjoyed that. After 2 years, I stopped out of it, and it really gave me the chance to kind of rethink what I want to be doing. And, you know, when there's a topic that interests me, the usual thing I do is I go on Amazon and I just kind of get the top selling books in the category, and usually it's, you know, a mix of maybe even a novel, you know, a biography, you know, a school textbook, and one topic that I came across was film production, and it really kind of caught my eye and my interest, and I started to kind of immerse myself in the film world, which I thought was really exciting. And the more conversations I had with people in the industry, the more I realized that I was kind of always the business guy among the creatives. Often, you know, I would have been the only one that saw a business school from the inside. And so for me, kind of the combining the two worlds, I guess, of finance and entertainment, and connecting those two became, you know, my number one activity.
Interesting background there. Thanks for sharing that. Now, how did you come up with the idea to start Axiom Venture Capital, and what was the inspiration behind it? And give us all the details there.
Starting Axiom Venture Capital was almost an accident, if you will. When I was diving into film, I saw that there's so many similarities between, you know, trying to get a film project off the ground and starting a venture in pretty much any other space. You know, if you think of it, you always start with an idea, and you know, you have to build a team. So for a new venture, that's, you know, someone that maybe knows a lot about the technology you're in. In film, it's usually your screenwriter or director. So you start out very small and try to build a product, and then, you know, you at some point you have to, you know, sell it and make it and ship it and really grow the company. And so for me, that was always very interesting to see the similarities between starting a new venture and film. And from there, we started to think about, you know, how can we structure something around it, you know, that we can, together with others, invest in it as, you know, an asset class. And, you know, almost like a technology VC, for example. And if you think of tech VCs, you know, they face the same challenge. They're presented with an idea that somebody has worked on already. There is a bit of traction, but it's really about validating the idea early on and figuring out what the factors are that, you know, will either make it or break it, that, you know, determines the success of the product or the company. And in film, it's a similar problem that, you know, it's very difficult to estimate how a product will do. And so, you know, we started to build it, and we got a great team together, and we started pitching it, and we got some great responses for the film fund that we had built. But then the company we mentioned as a reference often in the pitch actually filed for Chapter 11, you know. And the interesting thing was that they had done something similar, and they were very successful, and their troubles really came from, you know, a completely different corner. It had nothing to do with the film, but you can imagine the interest in what we were pitching dried up quite quickly. And luckily, among the, you know, along the way, we've met a lot of media entrepreneurs and people in the space that said, it's really cool what you guys are doing, and when you're done with this, can you do this for us? And we always asked, like, what do you mean exactly by that? And they said, look, we have an idea, you know, we want to grow the company, we need a bit of financing for it, you know, can you help us with this? And we always said, look, I think this is a conversation you need to have with your banker or your investment banker. And often people say, oh, this is what an investment banker does. And we said, yeah, that's what they do. And so they said, well, we like what you guys did, you know, can't you help us with this? So, you know, this is how we got to Axiom Venture Capital, where, you know, we now help the companies, you know, find the right investor. We help investors find the right opportunities or qualify them. And so that's why I always say it's almost by accident. We started out on a certain path, but ended up in a completely, you know, different corner of the same industry.
So many times we hear how businesses are started by accident, the way you put it, and you gotta love it how things turn out, especially fulfilling a need. Now, most people are familiar with venture capital, and almost every entrepreneur has done some sort of financing. And I'm guessing this isn't different in the entertainment industry. Is financing a venture in the entertainment industry any different from a venture in another industry?
Well, yes and no. I think often it is. I mean, the mechanics of the transactions are, of course, very similar. But if you look at what's under the hood for most companies, you know, in entertainment companies, you're mostly dealing with IP, intellectual property, you know, which is, of course, a very different animal than anything brick and mortar. So obviously, one of the topics, you know, that will be addressed first when you start any kind of fundraising is the question of valuation. You know, what's the company worth? What, you know, what are you raising? What are you raising it for? So that kind of works a little differently, since, you know, a lot is based on ideas and the potential. So the question is always, where's the proof of concept, especially if you talk about something that's, you know, not done before or not tried and tested. But even for entertainment products that are tried and tested, there's obviously very, you know, heated debates about the valuation of the company and how to get to a number everyone can agree on. And, you know, some companies' value really lies in the contracts that they have. So, you know, some have technology that's patented. I think that's a really exciting part about the entertainment industry, that it's we're at the moment where technology and entertainment is merging. You have companies breaking into the entertainment industry that have never done anything in it before. If you think of companies like Snapchat, you know, they're obviously now also producing content. So that's very exciting. But the mechanics, you know, I mentioned, it's always, you know, the devil is always in the detail. So you have to look at every single contract and every transaction that the company has engaged in to really understand where they stand and, you know, where they can go and where they will go. So if you, for example, a television production company that's now kind of enjoying this new golden age of television, you might have some very interesting long-term deals with a studio, and you know, especially if you still own some of the IP you're dealing in, that might be a very investable opportunity.
Today we're joined by Mr. Tobias Jaeger, the managing partner of Axiom Venture Capital, a boutique investment bank for the media and entertainment industries, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Now, Mr. Jaeger, you mentioned the new golden age of television. What does that mean, and are people watching more TV now?
Well, it's definitely kind of a new golden age of television, since a lot of attention and money, for that matter, have been directed to, you know, something like serialized drama. So all your shows that you can binge watch at the moment, there definitely is a new surge of, you know, new productions and new opportunities, also new opportunities for storytelling. You know, people aren't confined to tell a story in 90 minutes or 2 hours, but they can tell it in 10 or 13 hours. So that's, of course, not just exciting for the creatives and the consumers. I mean, if you think back 5-10 years ago, nobody used the word binge watching really, or nobody said, hey, let's, you know, Netflix and chill. Technologically, it was just not available. So now that we have the technology and the technology enabled this, we've seen a dramatic shift in the industry, I think, in terms of attention to something that would be described as television product. And, you know, people are used to being able to consume their favorite content really anytime, any place, any device. So the game has really changed from competing on time slots to competing on so many levels. And I think content is really the common denominator that, you know, as a company in the entertainment space, that you know, that's the level you're competing on, whether you're a publicly traded, well-funded, huge enterprise, or you're a startup. What really matters is the content. So since a lot of it resembles what we kind of know as traditional television, it's really a golden age of television.
And as you know, now Hollywood has quite a reputation in the U.S. and around the world. I'm sure there must be something entrepreneurs can learn from how business is done there. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, definitely. Hollywood has quite a reputation, and rightfully so. I mean, to be fair, business in Hollywood or Los Angeles is, for the most part, done in a way as it's done anywhere else. But of course, you know, it's an industry that's known to, you know, notoriously attract some eccentric people, and dealing with them is, of course, quite different than your average person. I would say most people in Hollywood are just great at marketing themselves and to sell you their ideas, the best idea that you will have ever come across in a long time. And obviously that mindset isn't exclusive really to Hollywood. But if you think, one word I mentioned was storytelling. I think people in that industry, they are just prone to, you know, tell a story and really excite you about what they're doing. I think one thing I observed that that I always found fascinating, that, you know, it's kind of a tool that entrepreneurs could use, is the use of talent agencies. You know, there's obviously a lot of talent agents and talent managers, and they're basically the gatekeepers, and they guard something that's you know, very precious, which is talent. So most other industries don't really have that, but if you you know, you think of the talent agents, yeah, obviously not all of them are like Ari Gold from the TV show Entourage, but having someone that fights for you is obviously always a great idea, and you know, someone that can really you know, be the bad cop so you can be the good cop. And I think that I've seen that work for people really well over and over again. So that's something, you know, I try to convey to every entrepreneur, saying like, look, you just try find a person that will fight the good fight for you. And I think the other group I see that is very active in Hollywood are lawyers. Anyone that's an entertainment lawyer is really a specialized lawyers. And as I mentioned, contracts are often the basis that makes up the valuation of a company to a great extent. So obviously, it's really important to get the best of the best going for you. And I've seen a lot of deals primarily negotiated by the lawyers instead of the business people. So that's something I think as an entrepreneur, you'll always encounter situations where you need some, you know, literally kick-ass legal advice. So for me, that's one of the important things, to have someone by your side that understands the milestones that you want to reach. And, you know, if you're in doubt, then just let your lawyer do the talking.
Some great information right there. Really appreciate that. Real quick, before you go, as an entrepreneur, what is the number one advice you would give people thinking about starting and running their own business?
Wow, okay. I think my number one advice for anyone that's kind of starting a business or running their own business or thinking about it is really to, you know, trust your gut and heart and really build a positive support network around you. It's obviously a very rocky road to get your business off the ground. So I think nothing is more important than, you know, trusting yourself and just walking your path and relying on the people that care about you and that you care about. You know, formal education has taught us that, you know, there's a right and a wrong answer to a question, but my experience is that in life and entrepreneurship, they're mostly just choices, and whether you're right or wrong, you'll only find out later. I mean, sometimes years. So I know this might sound a little esoteric, but yeah, I would say trust your gut and trust your journey.
Mr. Yeager, it certainly has been a pleasure to have had you. A wealth of information and advice shared here today. We can't thank you enough for that and for your time as well. Where can listeners get all the details on Axiom Venture Capital?
So we have a very basic website, but all the information to connect with us is on axiom.vc, so axiom.victorcharlie.
Again, Mr. Yeager, it's been our pleasure to have had you. And again, thanks for spending a moment with us here today on Enterprise Radio. All the best.
Thanks for having me. Thank you, Eric.
And you're more than welcome. We've been speaking with Mr. Tobias Yeager, the managing partner of Axiom Venture Capital, a boutique investment bank for the media and entertainment industry. And for all the details and to learn more, visit axiom.com. VC. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Check out our new live location, as we are now streaming 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live, with a new app coming soon to accompany our live stream in the coming weeks. In the meantime, you can find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And once again, as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.